Legal 112, this is your week number one podcast. My name's Tom Higgins. I'm the Legal Studies Chair, Professor of Legal Studies and Criminal Justice. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a graduate of Illinois Central College with a degree in police science in 1985. I am a first-generation single-parent, low-income college grad. ICC means a lot to me, and the opportunities we provide here mean a lot to me. I started out in law enforcement, went to law school, was a lawyer, Criminal Appeals Division of the Illinois Attorney General's Office, in private practice in Chicago and private practice in Peoria, Illinois, where Dean Michelle Weghorst was my paralegal. I've been here at Illinois Central College since 1996. This is my second stint helping to coordinate legal studies, but I've taught legal studies, paralegal studies, law enforcement, criminal justice, and our 911 interns. So a little bit of everything. I've taught this course for a long time, longer than some of you have been on this earth. So legal research, obviously with my criminal appeals background, I really got into legal research. At the time, Illinois had a death penalty and we still were trying to put people to death. So yes, I'm old, but legal research is one of my favorite pastimes as well. Even back when I was an ICC student taking police science courses in criminal law and court procedures and evidence and administration of justice, courses I teach now and have taught for many years, even back then, I kind of got into it. So it's a journey. It's something that you all need to have some skill in. And I'm going to help you try to get that skill. There's certain things that you should be aware of. You know, this is a course that takes a lot of effort. It's a new language, a new process for many of you. It's foreign to you. There's no shortcut for learning these things. Nor is there any way you can be successful in this course or as a paralegal if you do not commit your time and effort to the basics that you have an opportunity to develop in this course. If you put the time in now, the more complicated tasks expected of you later in this semester and then in your careers will be much easier. You know, that said, it is a lot easier for you than it was for me back in the old days before the internet and everything available at your fingertips. Now, you can't, for the most part, ask Google or Siri what the answer is. But I ask Google all the time to help me find the resources that will answer the question. In legal research, you can use those resources to get to the law. But in this course, you're going to learn, if you don't already know, what is the law. And then where to find it and how to find it and how to analyze it. And you're going to practice analyzing it. You're going to practice owning it. And that's all effort. Which leads to the analogy that I always offer at this point, every semester. Most of us have learned to ride a bicycle at some point in our life. Riding a bicycle can be an interesting experience till you learn your balance, till you learn that you have to keep up speed, that you have to be able to balance on that bike. I remember as a kid, I had my cousin's old, you know, girl's heavy, like a solid steel tank of a bike that I used to ride down a hill and into our fence until I learned balance. Because I didn't have a dad, I didn't have somebody to hold on to it like my kids did, spend a lot of time with me. I had to learn. Mom was working a couple jobs, and if I was going to learn to ride a bike, it was going to be me going down that hill into the fence. Eventually, I learned balance. I learned that if I pedaled, I remember just like it was yesterday, the day that I figured out I'm flying and I'm pedaling, and I got the balance, and I turned the bike, and I rode it up the hill, and then I was gone. Legal research is just like that. It's a skill. You have to find balance. You have to accept that sometimes you're going to go uphill and you're going to have to give more effort. Rarely are you going downhill and not putting in any effort. Sometimes the answers come to you easy, but it's rare. If it was easy, they wouldn't need lawyers and paralegals. We'd be out of a job. But along the way, and especially in this class, you're going to fall down. You're going to get bruised. You have to brush yourself off and get back on the bike. And some rides that I'm going to take you on this semester are going to seem a lot harder than others. But I make you this promise. If you put in the time and effort that I expect and ask of you in the first 4 weeks, the next 4 weeks are going to be a lot easier. And when you get to the end of those next 4 weeks, the midterm, the 8-week point in the semester, you're going to feel a whole heck of a lot more competent and confident than you did in week one. And from that point in the semester on, you're going to be doing things that you never would have imagined you could do this week. But you have to develop the skills. You have to put in the time. Of all the courses in this program, this is the course that is going to ask you to put in sometimes 10 hours a week, maybe more. And if you do that, as you build those skills, you'll become more efficient. You will become more confident. When you get to the more difficult assignments, the more difficult tasks in legal research, it will not be a chore at all. The other thing I have to mention is you have to enjoy riding the bike. I already told you that I enjoy legal research. For some of you, it's not going to be your thing. Now, if the law is still your thing and you want a career in the law, you're still going to have to know how to do this. So, learn to ride the bike. But for many of you, it's going to be something you enjoy. I take it as a game almost. I mean, I want to find the best answers. And in the law, we're finding the best answers. Remember, there's usually two sides to everything in the law. Again, if there wasn't, we wouldn't need paralegals and lawyers. You're going to discover, if you haven't already, that the law can be very gray. It's rarely black and white. It's rarely clear on the paper, in the statute, in the case book, on the case. It's rarely just very clear what the outcomes are going to be. So learn to ride the bike. Put the time and effort in. You know, I still ride the bike. Sometimes I ride to ICC. I enjoy riding a bike. I haven't been on my bike, though, for a few months now. And when I first get on it, it's a little shaky. So, final bike point. You're going to pick up skills in this course that won't leave you. But if you don't do legal research in wherever you end up practicing, on a regular basis, when you get on that bike to do legal research, it's going to be shaky. Dig deep, remember your basics, pull out the resources I'm going to provide to you, and then just move on, and you'll be fine. after you do the reading for this week, you should be able to describe the role of a paralegal in legal research. You should be able to understand that we have an ethical duty to perform research competently to the best of our ability, knowing the answers the law provides that are both beneficial to our client, but then may be harmful to our client. We can't just tell somebody what they want to hear. We have to prepare them for when they may get hit upside the head with the law, when things may not go their way. If you don't already know the sources of law in the United States, well, you better get them. You better figure that out real quick. And you probably do, because you've all taken a Constitution test a couple times in your life. You've had it drilled into your head since you were a kid. I mean, there's statutes that come from the legislature. There's case law that comes from the courts. The Constitution. Each state has a Constitution. And then there's the United States Constitution, the supreme law of the land. And then there's the fourth branch of government, administrative law from the executive branches of government. You should know that. Those are the four sources of law in the United States. There are no others. If you can't cite it to one of those sources, it ain't the law. The next thing you should be able to do is identify the classification of law as either primary or secondary sources. Now, I just told you what the sources of law are in the United States. Those are primary. Those four. There are no others. So, secondary is pretty easy. If it's not one of those categories, government created law from those bodies of the government, it's secondary. We use secondary sources typically to find primary sources or to help us understand and be able to apply primary sources. Secondary sources are often, like those of you who are taking courses using the ICL smart books, those are secondary sources. They contain references to primary law, but they're a secondary source intended to support practitioners in understanding and using that primary law. And then the final thing that you need to really start getting in your head is the classification of law is either binding or persuasive. Binding means that whatever the issue is, that's the law we have to follow. Persuasive means it's something we could do because another jurisdiction has done that. Now, typically, we only look to persuasive law when there is no binding authority. And binding and persuasive are going to reference cases, case law, courts' decisions, courts' interpretations of statutes. We'll cover more of that later, but if you did the reading, and if you haven't done the reading, go do it. But if you did the reading, you have an idea what I'm talking about, and you need to start getting those terms I just mentioned down in your head. That ethical duty to competence comes from our professional rules of responsibility or professional rules of conduct for lawyers, Rule 1.1. So again, we have a duty to be competent in all things we do in the law, but especially in legal research. The sources of law in the United States: constitutions, case law, statutes, and administrative regulations. Cases come from the judiciary, constitutions from the legislature, statutes from the legislature, administrative regulations from administrative agencies, and then and those are run by the executive branches. And then we have executive orders and treaties that we sometimes deal with, not often in most areas of the law, but you may, and those come from the executive branch. Government created law, the four primary ones: cases, constitutions, statutes, and administrative regulations. Some examples of secondary authorities: bar reviews, law journals, treatises, dictionaries, the ICL resource that I mentioned. And if you don't know what ICL is, you will. So just wait. But remember the term. It stands for Illinois Institute of Continuing Legal Education. We just call it ICL. It's easier. We have a duty to update or validate that the law is good. Cases may be overturned. Cases may be moved away from. And so we use Shepherd's. That's the citator or the validation tool for LexisNexis. If you work for a firm that uses Westlaw, you'll use Keysight, but there's also some other services that are out there, and there may be some that I don't know about, but the main point is you must validate. You must make sure that that case that you're looking to is still good law, and we'll have more on that later. I'll give you lots of good examples over the semester from my experience and things I've seen and things I don't want you to run into. So let's talk about stare decisis and judicial hierarchy. Primary law consists of cases, constitution, statutes, and administrative regulations. And anything else is secondary. Primary law from your state or jurisdiction is binding on your state or jurisdiction. Law from another state or jurisdiction is persuasive on your state or jurisdiction. Secondary sources, no matter where they come from, are persuasive only. The higher court in any given judicial hierarchy binds lower courts. So the Supreme Court of Illinois, any decision that they render applies to the five appellate court districts and all the circuit courts within Illinois. A higher court can depart from a previously announced rule of law if there's a compelling or important reason for doing so. And the cases from the United States Supreme Court are binding on all courts in the United States. So let's talk about your first assignment. You have two parts to the assignment for this week. Part one, in addition to your reading assignment, and again, if you haven't done that, you need to go do it. Maybe come back and re-listen to this. It's an expectation that you read the course syllabus. So do your assigned reading. That assigned reading is listed on the course syllabus for every week, and so it's easy to find. In addition, I want you to do the following things. You need to be able to log into your ICC email and to the Canvas site if you have not done so. I'm going to assume that you've done so because you're listening to this podcast. If you're having trouble at any time, contact the help desk. I can't help you. If you have any issue with the ICC website, a library resources, a student, go to the Student Success Lab or stop by the library. Contact the librarians. You can do that virtually. There's a library and a student center at the Peoria campus that's pretty amazing. If you want to go there, you can use computers. You can go there to study, but use it. Next thing I need you to do is go to the ICC webpage. And I've listed this on Canvas, so I'm not going to go very slow with this, but I'll go a little slow. And if you want to open your computer and click on through, I'll give you some time to open your computer and have your ICC website up, icc.edu, and you'll see around campus. If you hover over around campus and you choose the library tab, and then from the library page, if you click the second tab, search page, or search, and you page down, you'll see some yellow tabs. And you'll see Nexis Uni, LexisNexis. Now, if you're in a computer lab at ICC or the library at ICC, you're already logged into the system. And if you're using your own computer off campus, you're going to have to log in with your ICC student username and password. If you don't see those tabs, you can also go to the Criminal Justice and Law Resources, and you'll find Lexis listed there, as well as ICL. Now, once you're in Lexis, click on the down arrow next to All Nexis Uni in the left-hand corner of the screen. And then click on Cases and Codes. And you're going to want to check the box for Illinois. After you've done that, you can return to the Enter Terms box above and enter terms for a legal issue you may be curious about. Cannabis, child custody, anything you choose. I want you to spend some time using this function. Search a variety of different things that may be of interest to you. Just play around with it a little bit. Get familiar with it. It's not that intuitive, and you need to be familiar with it. Now you notice, and I didn't list this on Canvas, so this is to see if you actually listen to what I'm saying here. You'll notice that you get a whole heck of a lot of results. So if you were looking for an Illinois appellate court or Illinois Supreme Court case, from all those results, if you go over to the left column, you can sort. And one of the things you can sort is you can limit it to, say you're looking for a 3rd District or 4th District appellate court case. Depending on where you live in this area now, we used to be split between the 3rd and the 4th, and now we're pretty much, most of us are in the 4th District, 4th Appellate District in Illinois. But you could click on and only pull up 4th District cases, or only pull up Illinois Supreme Court and 4th District cases. Because those are going to be the only ones binding on a case from Peoria County. And we'll practice that more in the future. But as you're playing around, look at those columns. Get familiar with how you can limit the number of things that come up on your screen, how you can sort those things to be more relevant. The next thing I ask you to do is find the Illinois statute that explains the expectations for the legal use of cannabis. Once you find that, I want you to type up on a computer, never your phone, never a tablet, on a computer so you can spell check and grammar check and look at it and read it and proofread it before you submit it. I want you to write a summary in your own words. Never cut and paste. I want your own words. In the law, I'm going to always ask for your own words. A lawyer's not going to ask you to tell them what you cut and pasted. If you can going to cut and paste it, I don't need you. I need your thoughts. I need to trust your judgment. I want you to post that summary directly to the thread box on Canvas, no attachments, by Thursday of week 1 at 10 p.m. That's the first part of your assignment. After that point, I want you to go and read. And part 2 is we're going to practice self-assessments. We do mostly in this class self-assessments. I may have you do a peer review. There's a difference. There's a document on Canvas that tells you this criteria, but I'm going to walk you through the criteria. So we're going to practice this criteria for self-assessment this week. So after 10 p.m. on Thursday, but before 10 p.m. on Monday, I need you to review the assignments of all other students for this week. Now, after you've done this, open a new document on your computer. Again, on your computer, not on your phone or your tablet. Proofread everything you're going to type out for me. But I want you to tell me how much time you spent on each portion of the project. This one is pretty easy. You only have one portion, but as we get into the semester, we're going to have multiple things you're going to be doing. I want you to tell me how your efforts compared to your classmates in these categories, final outcomes or results. Did you get the result correct? How's your organization compared to other people? How's your presentation? How's the effectiveness as it relates to the needs of the intended audience? So in this case, I'm the lawyer, you're my paralegal or my legal assistant, and I'm asking you to explain this statute to me, right? So did you do that effectively? The next thing I want you to do, and this is the uncomfortable part for people, these next two things. I want you to tell me three documents of classmates that were as good or better than your own effort, and be specific as to why you chose those documents. That's not always that difficult, but this one is. Which documents fell short of the expectations of this assignment per the criteria provided in number two, those four things? And being supportive as a coworker, what constructive comments would you offer the person who produced that effort to avoid similar results in the future? And then I ask you to analyze and tell me what grade you think you deserve and why. Now I'm going to use this same criteria. You need to post that directly to the thread box. Just do it as a reply to your own post, your first post. By Monday of the next week. And after you do that, your week one assignment's done. But week two will be open, and you'll see that before Monday of week two. And we'll move on to the week two assignment. Now, for this course, for this semester, each week, I will be available and on Zoom at a specific day and time, and that's listed on Canvas in the week one assignment, and I put the link. So that'll be for this semester, the day and time you can reach me, and anything you need there, we can talk about. Otherwise, the goal here is to understand that this course is going to take some of your time and effort. It's going to take less time and effort towards the end of the semester when we're actually doing more complicated things if you commit to putting in the time and effort in the first part of the semester. And that includes this week. I look forward to seeing that growth. This is always one of the coolest courses for me because I see you develop a skill that you're going to be able to use in a lot of different areas of the law. So I'm looking forward to that. I hope you enjoy the course. And even if you don't enjoy the course, if you put in the time, you're going to get something out of it. My contact information is on the syllabus. If you need me about this course, about the program, about internships, about jobs, about anything, both here while you're here in the program and then long after you're gone, you know how to get a hold of me. Don't hesitate to do so.